Okay. If everyone would take their Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy today. So I want to look today a little bit about the time that we're here on the earth and the fight that we're really fighting and who we're fighting against in the right way that we're to fight and to stand for God and to walk with Him. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So he's talking about fighting the good fight of faith. And that's what I want to look at today, what that good fight is, and what it means for us in this day and age to fight that good fight. The Working Translation has a translation of verse 12 where it says, "Contend in the good contest of the right way of believing. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you confessed in the good confession before many witnesses." And the phrase, "lay hold on eternal life," once you're born again, you have eternal life already. So when he's talking about laying hold on eternal life, he's talking about laying hold on the eternal treasures that we can put up for ourselves while we do the work for God on this earth, because we're never going to lose eternal life once we have that born again spirit in us. So if you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. In verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So in season and out of season. That covers all of the seasons. So we're to preach the word always. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." You could pretty much see that everywhere today. When they will not endure sound doctrine, how many people laugh at, you know, God's word and the only truth, and they turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So they're not even looking for God's word anymore. They're completely gone from it. In verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing." So, verses 1 through 6 talk about what part of a good fight is. You know, we preach the word, always. We reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the best way to reprove and rebuke someone is by showing them the word, showing them the scripture, chapter and verse. And that's part of a good fight that Paul's talking about. And he's doing this in light of eternity. That's one thing to see in all of this, is that it's always in light of eternity. You know, in verse 8 it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And it's not to him only, he says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I mean, we love his appearing, me and you do, so it's for us too. And so when we're fighting and, you know, you've had a bad day or something and you don't really, you feel like just not worthy, you know, that's the devil, and that's not, and we're to lay hold on eternal life and to fight in light of eternity. You know, people want to fight for a lot of things on earth, whether it be, you know, politics or things like that, and earthly ministries or earthly you know, a charity or something. And these are not bad things to fight for, but the problem becomes when they become our sole mean and our only goal that we're striving for. But the only thing that we should be making our sole focus and the main thing that we're fighting for is God's word, because that's not going anywhere. And what's the point in the end is to fight for God and to stand for him, because the only thing that's going to stand is God's word. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And if you look at Jesus during his ministry on earth, you know, what was the only thing he was doing? Was preaching the word. You know, even when his apostles were thinking on, you know, where are we going to get food? Where are we going to do this? And, you know, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he's always elevating the conversation. He's always speaking the word. And that was the most important thing to him, was to speak the word and to stand for his God. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So no one else can lay any other foundation. And we build upon this foundation because it's the only thing that's going to last. So who are we really fighting against in the world, though? And if you turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So that's who we're fighting against. And although a lot of times it will seem like a physical attack, but there's someone else behind it. And there's a God of this world, and that's what he loves to do. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's always subtle. It's always slowly wearing you away. And it will look like a physical thing. But there's someone behind it. And there's someone who's motivated to try and knock us down. But he knows he's already been beaten. And, you know, let him know. He knows he's been beaten. So we don't have to take it for 1 minute. And the best way to battle, the only way to battle the adversary, in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So if you look through the verses here, in verse 14 it says, "having your loins girt about with truth." So what's truth? Well, it's God's word. And in verse 15 it says, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." What's the gospel of peace? It's God's word. And in verse 16, "taking the shield of faith." Well, what are we believing in? Again, it's God's word. And in verse 17, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So it's all God's word. And that's the best weapon, the best tool we have to fight against the devil. Look at the power of God's word. Even in Genesis 1, you know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the power that we have, and you know, when Jesus was being tempted in the desert, the first thing that he answered back with was God's word every time, and it beat him down, and the devil left him. And we have that same power. And in Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And the ESV has a cool translation. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." So it's living and active word. And when we speak it, it has power. And, you know, when we share it with people, it has power. It's always the word that does the work. We just have to let it do it. So we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, even though this a lot of times seems what it is. But there's a god of this world behind it. And our only way to combat him is to put on that whole armor of God, to constantly be renewed in our mind and have it living and have it active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a directed spiritual attack on Christians in this world. It's a mental battle. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil loves to go after our minds, slowly and surely trying to wear us down. And he'll never stop, so we can never stop going to the Word. We can never stop studying. We can never stop putting it on and making it our main fight and stand, because he's not going to stop. And he already knows he's been beaten, like he said, you know. In 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you. In heaven for you. So it's a lively hope. You know, it's not something that's dead and not going to happen. It's lively, and we continually look to that. And again, like in earlier where we looked at laying hold on eternal life, it's to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. So it's not going anywhere. In verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's only a season. You know, it's a very short season. You know, what's 100 years, 110 years in light of eternity? It's nothing. It's unfathomable how little that is. So, you know, if we're having a bad day and going through temptations and stuff like that, just put the Word on and know that in light of eternity, it's nothing, and it may not seem like nothing, but in light of eternity, you can lay hold on eternal life and continually look to that. In verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you skip down to verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, the word where it talks about girding up the loins of your mind, it means we keep it tight, we keep it active, we keep that active by putting on God's Word. The loins are used to refer to your midsection, which is where all your power comes from. So when we're girding up the loins of our mind, that's where our power comes from, because we put on God's Word there. And in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So where we put on God's Word again, and it's again before it talks about to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled unto a lively hope. Again, it's always all these records, and just looking through so much of it, there's always mentions of eternal life and looking unto the hope, because if we had nothing to look forward to unto the hope, then it becomes a lot more challenging. But we have that lively hope, and we can continually look to it. We continually put the Word on in our mind, so that we can fight for this short season that we're in and do the work that we can to lay up eternal treasures. We have to guard our minds in this perverse world that we live in. You know, the devil comes from all angles and he never stops. And it's always a subtle attack, a slight thought here and there. If you look back into Genesis 3, when he's going after Eve. You know, he started off slow, you know, you can eat it, it's all right. And, you know, did he really say that? And then, thou shalt not surely die. So it went from writing the line to directly against God's word. And the devil has not changed. He's very lame. And it's the same thing that he does today. You see things on TV, things in music, and suddenly your mind starts thinking, oh, well, this part's okay and this part's all right. And then it wears us down until eventually we're going directly against God's word. But we can stop that when we keep an active mind, when we keep putting God's word on him and keep renewing our mind. you know, I've been a hockey player for 13 years, and I've played for good teams, bad teams, and very bad teams. And the one thing that I see that happens a lot when a team goes from good to being bad is little things start to go. Our room will be messy. A stall will have stuff out of place. You know, guys will show up slightly late, or they won't be up to dress code. You know, be missing a couple things. And then suddenly it's a snowball effect. It goes downhill. Play starts being affected. And it all happens from the little things. When the little things don't slide, the good teams that I've been with, everything's tight, everything's clean, everything's on it. And that's the same way. When we let, you know, maybe we stop praying, may we stop going to the word, and may we stop walking with God, and slowly and surely the things add up. And then the devil will go, and he'll go directly against God's word, and suddenly we'll think it's okay. And we can't let that happen. We have to keep sharp, keep active. you know, we never compromise on the word, ever. Dr. Werle used to say, I have no friends when it comes to the word. And we fight the good fight of the right way of believing, and we look toward the hope of the return. But no matter how close you are to someone, a friend or someone else, if something's said that's against God's word, you tell them no. And it doesn't have to be mean-spirited or anything. You know, it says reprove out of all long-suffering. And, you know, it will astound someone when they say something and you say, well, you know, that's not really what God's word says here. They will not know what to say back. And thoughts like those stick in people's heads. And then if you flip to verse 24 in 1 Peter, here, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we are never fighting a losing battle, ever. You know, the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's the only thing that's going to stand. It's the word of the Lord. So don't ever think that we're fighting something that will fade or go away. And it's already being won for us by Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross for me and you. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 12. For the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And you see that again today, people toss to and fro with every doctrine, you know, standing for this one week, and then, oh, well, you know, this is new, so I'll follow this for a bit, you know. And it says they're waiting. It's not by chance that this happens. They're lying in wait to deceive, and the devil is behind that. And, yeah, it's always the new thing, following the trendy thing. Well, don't follow what's new. Let's follow the newness of life that we've been called unto. in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Who do you think is doing that darkening? Again, it's the God of the world. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, talking about the mind, and how important it is, and how many times it talks about putting the word on in our mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We don't give him the time of day, because he doesn't deserve it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Like, I love that, you know, sealed unto the day of redemption. Nothing we do will ever change that. In 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. If you just look at from Ephesians 4 verse 25 to 5 verse 4, the description that is talking about of someone, of the stuff that we're not to be, and just realize how different that makes you from everyone else, and how that sets you apart from people. You know, not doing these things makes you so different. And it talks about neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but it will seem convenient sometimes. You know, when you're with people at work, or when you're with friends, and, you know, or I'm just joking around, well, you don't realize how much of an effect it has on someone when even small things you say, and they start to form a picture of you in their mind. Oh, I guess he does this, or does that, or does this, but speak the word, and let them form the picture of you speaking the word, and set yourself apart from them, because we're not like them anymore. We're called for so much more. We're citizens of heaven, and acting this way will open up so many doors to witness to people. You know, they'll say, well, why aren't you getting mad at this? Or, you know, he did that to you. How can you not hate him? Or, why are you joking around with us over this? And then that opens doors to speak the word and to fight the good fight. And it's easier, it's a lot easier to speak the word to someone when it's active in your mind, and when you're constantly studying it, and when you're constantly going to it, and you're just walking with God, and you have that Holy Spirit inside of you. And we'll always have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but when we're just staying sharp on the word, it becomes It's the first thing that you want to speak to someone. And when you're talking to someone, you're just waiting for the green light or the door to open and talk to someone. That's the best way. And speaking the word and witnessing to people will give you a satisfaction and get you fired up like nothing else will after. In verse 5 of Ephesians 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So tells us again, be ye not therefore partakers with them. We don't need to be. And sometimes we were of darkness, but now we're children of light. And walk that way and show people the difference. And show people, we have the ability, like we looked at a couple weeks ago, just to demonstrate God unto the world when we're walking in love and when we're speaking that word to people. A couple more verses here. If you look in Philippians 4, in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, what things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report? God's word is all those things. Let's think on those things. And we'll close in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, it's a privilege for us to be able to fight for God and stand for Him in this world. And He's given us that Holy Spirit, and He's given us His Word. And let's use it. And, not only do we get to stand for Him, but He's a just God that He's going to reward us for doing it in eternity. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that just sums up so many things. Our warfare, the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. We're to put on that whole armor of God and to use the word of God as our ultimate weapon. It's living, it's active, it's powerful. And we're to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, not just some thoughts. And the best way to bring every thought is when we're constantly putting the word on in our mind, and we're constantly walking in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It talks about that. So like I said, we got this word, and God gave us His word. So study it, work it, keep it sharp and active in your minds. Don't be partakers with people, even though sometimes it will seem convenient. It says never convenient. Separate yourselves from people and be different. Be called crazy, weird, odd, because that's the best compliment you can get. So that's what I wanted to share, and I'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this word that You've given unto us, and that we have that Holy Spirit inside of us, and that we can walk in the newness of life that You've called us unto, and that we have the opportunity to lay up eternal treasures for ourselves, because You are such a just God and such a loving God. And we thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, for us, so that we can have eternal life, and that we know that the devil's already been beaten, and he knows it too. So thank you for the rest of the day that we can fellowship together around you, and for being such a loving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.